You know, oftentimes in this stock market, things that look good, well, they're not always quite what they seem. But you have to know where you're going to look when you're looking for trouble. We know somebody who knows. David Trainor's here, and we're heading for the Danger Zone. Welcome to the Danger Zone on Money Life, where we talk with the experts from New Constructs, where they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. And they do this by basically bringing forensic accounting to discounted cash flow analysis. They dig in at the footnotes level and they work their way up, because sometimes when you're looking from the top down, you'll see something that you think is attractive, but you got to ask a question.
Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
And if it's not as attractive as you think it is, and it's misleading, it might be dangerous. By the way, you can flip that around, and something that maybe looks ugly, the ugly might only be skin deep. And then it could be attractive. If you want to find out more about how it works, go to newconstructs.com, where they blog about their danger zone picks. So there's always more information and detail on the stuff you hear us talking about here. David Trainor, welcome back to Money Life.
It is great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Warby Parker.
Danger, danger.
Warby Parker. Now, this, of course, is the eyeglass maker that has been making lots of headlines, and it's supposed to be one of the hot IPOs. So when you look at the details on the IPO, what are you seeing through on Warby Parker? See what I did there?
We're seeing through the typical IPO illusion here that it's a good deal for investors. You know, look, I'm a big believer in the business model. I believe the sort of genesis of the Warby Parker business comes from a good place and does good things for the world by meaningfully reducing the cost of eyeglasses, especially on the charitable side. But this IPO valuation, Chuck, is just way, way, way out of whack. It's positioning itself as like an e-commerce play, where the e-commerce business is actually not doing well at all. And when you listen to what executives are saying, they're planning to build out the brick and mortar presence. That's going to be very expensive. And the valuation effectively is already giving them credit for achieving double industry growth and best possible margins, or the best margins in the industry, for the next 8 years. So, you know, $3 billion kind of is what they're looking to be valued at this point. And we think it's probably worth closer to $600 million.
Whoa. So that's an 80% haircut, at least if they get the valuation that they're looking for. If there's that big of a discrepancy, what is the chance that we have an actual IPO pop, or what is the likelihood that we have an IPO flop?
Yeah, or we may have an IPO WeWork where we just don't even get an IPO done because people balk at the idea. So, yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, I felt with WeWork, when we did that a while ago, the big difference back then was there was a significant amount of time between the filing for the IPO and the actual IPO. And so our research had a chance to really more fully disseminate. You probably have noticed that the amount of time between the filing of the S1, when we finally get the data we need to understand the business, and the actual IPO has gotten shorter and shorter and shorter, sometimes days. And certainly just, you know, most these days, a couple of weeks, whereas with WeWork, we had a couple of months. So to be honest, you know, my opinion on how well the IPO does depends on how much our research gets out there and a lot of people see it and read it, and they'll realize, oh my gosh, this is ridiculously overpriced. There's no way I want to buy this anywhere close to the IPO value. If it doesn't, we might see meme stock performance. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to recognize what the next meme stock would be, but this would be one that would be there, because I don't think most people recognize who the big players are in eyewear, how important it is. But among the biggest competitors to any eyewear company when it comes to sales are going to be Costco and Walmart, right? So the competition here is not just who you think the competition is. The competition, because they're going as a retail facing concern, they're going against the Walmarts and the Costcos, who, oh, by the way, are looking to go at them pretty hard.
That's right. You're picking on some giants with scale, capabilities, and cost advantages that will be extremely expensive to attempt to replicate if they ever replicate, right? The amount of capital that Warby Parker's got to invest to match the brick-and-mortar footprint that Costco and Walmart have, and forget about trying to match the foot traffic, right? I mean, it's going to cost them a lot to build a footprint, and they may never even get the foot traffic. And the idea that they might get something close to either one of those, you know, is already priced in effectively. The chart shows here, yeah, their implied market share is going to be almost as much as where Walmart is right now. That's what the price is already implying. So, you know, that seems a little crazy to me.
Crazy, of course, brings up something that we talk about more often with IPOs than any place else. That, of course, being stupid money risk. So the stupid money risk here is really the chance that this becomes that meme stock that you were talking about, right?
Yeah, no, I think the stupid money risk is a great thing, and it's actually got more meanings. In the beginning, it was that people would someone would come along and buy a company, even though it was completely, totally overvalued. And that's typically what we mean by stupid money risk. But I think you're right. No, the meme stock frenzy is also stupid money risk. You know, look, they call themselves stupid. They call themselves apes. They know they're investing to be bullies and push stocks around, not to invest based on anything related to fundamentals. And that's really the only kind of strategy that works here, right? That sort of the blind bully ape strategy or meme stock strategy, which is to say, hey, we want to make this stock be overpriced compared to its fundamentals because we can. And I don't understand that, but that's what happens.
Do you believe that this IPO happens, or do you think at this point, when Wall Street kind of figures it out and they put on their proper lenses and try to look at Warby Parker, see what I did there again? That they will come to the recognition that, yeah, this deal better off dead than actually proceeding.
I mean, I think it's up to the retail investors and the advisors out there. I mean, look, Wall Street is going to be all in on this, right? Because they stand to generate substantial fees from the IPO. They want as big a price as possible. That's why they support these stocks and always have. So it's Wall Street knows. I believe Wall Street insiders know how bad a lot of these businesses are when they take them to IPO. That's my feeling. But they don't care because they're not buying it. They're just selling. And if you're selling and you're making a commission on sales, you want as high a price as possible. So it's up to your listeners. It's up to retail investors to get smart, to see through the optical illusion from Warby Parker and the optical illusion from Wall Street and not fall for it.
It's Warby Parker, ticker WRBY, the direct listing, the IPO. It's basically dead on arrival. Worth maybe 200 million or 600 million when it's expected, or they're hoping it's going to be valued at several billion dollars, $3 billion. David Trainer, great stuff. Thanks as always.
My pleasure. Thank you, Chuck.
David Trainer is the president at New Constructs. Learn more at newconstructs.com and follow them on Twitter at New Constructs. The market calls next. Stick around. This is Money Life.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.